We are continuing in our study in Revelation as God wants us to go through, but I don't think we're actually going to make it to Revelation today. I have one verse to share with you before we get to Revelation. And Terry, how long can one verse take? Just one verse, maybe. I think we're going to end after that one verse, but there'll be more. So anyways, again, Revelation isn't a scary book if you are a believer. Think about, what does the word revelation mean? It means to be revealed. And in the very first chapter, the beginning of the first chapter, it said it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. So God Almighty is going to reveal to us who Jesus Christ is in his exalted form right now in heaven. So, dude, if God can't reveal it to you, I don't know if there's any hope, bro. So I'm just saying, if we just take it for what it is and we read it, and read it with the same wonder. People are like, oh, how can all that? Wait a minute, we got these beasts, we've got these, we got all these. You know what, dude? When we were reading Exodus, and you're reading about Moses, and you're reading about all the plagues, you have no problem believing God can turn the whole Nile River into blood. You have no problem believing that God can send no-see-ums all over Egypt except in one little place, you know? We have no problem believing that, but the devil has got us convinced, not us, other churches, but he's got people convinced that you can't understand Revelation. And what an irony that is. God is revealing to us who Jesus is. And if God can't, I mean, is there any better revealer than God? No. And so God says, I want to reveal to you and to these seven churches in Asia Minor, up in Turkey, where modern day Turkey, he's writing to them, but he's writing to all the churches and writing to the believers in the churches so that it's an encouragement to us. We have many of the same problems they had, many of the same issues. And so as he is unfolding the future and how everything's going to end, and by the way, it's not just in Revelation, nor to understand Revelation, you got to go back into the Old Testament. If you haven't understood Daniel and Ezekiel and Zechariah and Jeremiah and Isaiah, dude, you can't understand Revelation. It takes a thorough examination of the Old Testament to see how God has one big picture and he's brought it all together. But the point is that God wants to reveal to us who Jesus Christ as the exalted reigning king in heaven is. And he wants to reveal to us how it's all going to kind of unfold when he blows the whistle and sends Jesus, one, to collect his church, two, to have a systematic destruction of this planet so that he can recreate this planet and we can have a millennial kingdom, which is for the Jews, but we will be serving with him. We've studied all of that in the past. You can go back and find those messages on Spotify, I think, or wherever. Ask JJ where they're at. But anyways, they're there. So where we're at in chapter 17 is in 18 is he's going to show us the details of Babylon the religion and Babylon the economic system, because in the end, for the Antichrist, when he takes over, there is going to be a one world government, there is going to be a one world economy, and there is going to be a one world religion. Now, again, these things don't happen overnight. They happen through a process. Everything happens through a process. So we don't take the news and automatically insert it totally into, oh, there it is. You know, every time Turkey does something, oh, there it is. That's not how, it's a process. You start looking at what the players in the New Testament, you start looking at the players in the Old Testament, which are still viable and still are there, and you watch what they're doing now, alliances and things. Just because an alliance comes together doesn't mean that's what's going to happen at this point in time, but it means it could be what's getting set up, because these things take time to get set up. And the one world religion that in chapter 17, he gives us all the details of kind of how it all started, how it goes through. We've already talked about Babylon a few chapters back as to how Babylon got started to begin with. You guys remember the dude who started Babylon? He was a mighty hunter. He was after Noah. Remember, he was one of Noah's grandsons. What was the dude's name? Nimrod. Everybody say Nimrod. All right. And Nimrod is not a popular name. Aren't you glad, Marley, your mom named you Marley instead of Nimrod? Right? And that wouldn't be an affectionate name to call Lorelai. Instead of Lorelai, say, hey, Nimrod. You know, that it's just not a very popular name because of who he was. He was the first guy to kind of, and you can go back to Genesis chapter 10, 11, in there, and you can see how Nimrod basically was a mighty hunter. And it wasn't a hunter of animals, he was a hunter of men. He's the one that started the first empires in killing people and collecting people and bringing people together in a giant empire. And they built these things called ziggurats, all right? And you maybe have seen pictures where there's steps coming up four different ways to a platform. And these ziggurats were to their gods. And some of them, like Nimrod, even thought they were gods. And they would walk up to the very top of all of that and proclaim to be a god or be one with the gods. And when Nimrod did that, he was becoming so popular in being a bad example that God changed. He split. What did he do with the Tower of Babel, which was a ziggurat? He crushed it, man. He sent everybody away. He changed their language because they were all coming together as one, and they didn't need God anymore. So he split them up, sent them all over the place. But that's always been man who doesn't want to follow God. That's been his plan, is to become God. I mean, isn't that one of the things that Eve, when she was presented the fruit by Satan, you know, did God really say that? You know what? He doesn't want you to become like God, where you know both good and evil. And so that's been man's problem since the beginning. And so anyone aside from those that worship God, the true Almighty God, anyone that worships anyone else and other than by his rules that he has set up, they're wrong. And it's a false religion. And it's been going on since Adam and Eve. And in the very end, Satan, through the Antichrist and through the false prophet, are going to create that one world religion. There is going to be a one world religion of people who do not want to surrender to Christ. And so Revelation is not a scary book if you're a believer, because encouragement is we're on that team. Christ reveals to us who he is, all his glory. He reveals to us how it ends. How does it end? We all what? We win. That should be an encouragement, because on this planet, I'm not sure we feel like winners. Often we don't feel like winners. We feel like losers, and the world's telling us we're losers. But when we read Scripture, our mind is renewed, and we know that we win. We know that we win. You know that following Christ is the right way. It is it. Anything other than following Christ is straight out of the pit of hell. And I'm going to show you that, all right? But again, don't forget that this was given to the church to be an encouragement. Here's where Christianity has a problem, or the West of the world has a problem with Christianity, is the exclusiveness. Who am I to go tell all the Hindus that, dude, you're wrong, you're gonna go to hell? Yeah, you know what, when I was in Trinidad, it was so easy to lead Hindu people to Christ because they were so willing to take on another god. They have so many gods, they'll take on another god. It was very hard to lead an Islamic man to God, but once you did, he was very dedicated in all of that. But he's got one God, but it's the wrong God. Allah is not God Almighty. They're different, totally different in all. And yes, you know what? In Islam, they do believe that Jesus is, they believe in Jesus. They love Jesus, and they believe Jesus is coming back. You're like, then what's the problem? Because when you know what they say about Jesus, they believe he's coming back, and they believe that when he comes back, he's going to tell the Christians that they were wrong and that he was not the Messiah. That's in their theology. Every theology, even if it calls itself Christian, that is contrary to the Word of God in context, that's clear, in context. It's got to be what God. You got to read the verse. You got to read the sentence. You got to read the chapter. You got to read the book. You got to read the testament. You got to know the context, and you don't have the right to change the context. If any one of y'all sent me, I could pull up probably on my phone some emails or texts that some of y'all sent me, and if I were to take like one word out of one sentence out of three paragraphs, Kim. And I were to tell you, you know, you send me something and I take one word and make it say something that is not in context, what would I be? I'd be a liar. wouldn't I? Would I be a liar? Yeah. And if I can't do it with your text, then I certainly can't do it with God's text. I can't do it with his text, T-E-X-T. So again, it was given to the church to be an encouragement, to show us that, man, everything we need is found in God's Word. Everything that we find in God's Word in context will guide us, direct us. It is the only truth that we have, and everything else is a lie. You say, well, you're being pretty arrogant on that. And that's, you know, how can you tell those people they're wrong? How do you know they're wrong? I mean, you know, and this is where the world's going. In order to have a one-world religion, you got to get rid of Christ. And, you know, well, why do you got to get rid of Christ? Because look at this. In John 14, 6, here's the one verse. Jesus said to him, I am what? The way. I'm the way. Go study that in Greek any way you want. Study it in English. I am the way and what? The truth. So anything against what he said is what? It's a lie. So when Islam wants to say, oh yeah, we believe in Jesus and Jesus is going to come back and he's going to come back and tell all you Christians you were wrong that I'm not the Messiah. What is that? It's a lie. When Mormonism is going to tell you, oh, go repopulate, show me you can repopulate the earth through monogamy or polygamy right now. And you know what? You do a good enough job repopulating this little part of the planet that you have. You know what? You're going to be just like God, and you're going to get your own planet and be your own God one day. Did you know that's what Mormonism says? No, because you probably didn't study Mormonism, but that is what it says. You even understand, man, this was interesting, and Linda could back this up, that probably 30 years ago, Mormons had people knocking on the doors in Orlando. I had a Book of Mormon from that day, from before, and I showed the guy. One of the dudes was black. He was African-American, and he came to the door, and he's talking to me about Mormonism. I said, do you know, sir, that according to the Book of Mormon, that you are a child of Satan? That's why you're black, because you have been burned? And by the way, in Mormonism, Jesus and Satan are brothers. What is that? Is that the truth? No, it's a lie. Anything against Scripture. So going back to the dude being black, he's like, well, what do you mean? I said, well, according to your book, that all of the black people are children of Satan, and that's why they're black, because they've been burned. You're like, oh, come on. No, I showed it to him in the Book of Mormon. Since then, the Book of Mormon's been changed. You know why? Because they need black people. Just like any other false religion, when they need something. You know, and I'll throw it in with Catholicism. You know, the bottom line is you look at anything, purgatory, you go look at anything that's non-biblical, it's at a time when they need more people to show up to church and they need more money. We have Christ. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So let me ask you a question. If you want to know the way to get to God, who's it through? Joe, who's it through? Christ. Is there any other way? So every other religion that's telling you have to do something, that you have to do something to achieve it, even a form of Christianity that says you have to achieve, you have to do something, it's a lie, it's wrong, and it's messed up. Because he said, I am the way. And we'll talk about that in a minute. He said, I am the truth. Whatever I say is the truth. Anything against that is a lie. And I am life. If you want life, Anna, right? And if you want life, where does life come from? Who are you getting it from? Yeah, from Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, I am life. No, and look what he says in the next part of this. He says, what's the next sentence say? No one. No one. So are there any exceptions to this? Not a one. Not a one. He said, no one comes to the Father except through what? Through me. Anybody saying you can get to God, oh, you know, Oprah, whoever, whatever, you know, all the new age stuff that was years ago and everything that's evolving, you understand it's a process and it's going to evolve. Everything's going to evolve, and there's going to be a one world religion, and it is not going to be Christianity. Because where are we going to be during the tribulation? What's the next great event for us? The rapture, dude. The rapture. We're getting, at some point, God's just going to snatch us up, bro. And we're going to heaven. And I believe that my heart and soul that that's what Scripture teaches. I've looked at all the other theories. Again, I'm not going to argue. I'm not going to fuss with people. It doesn't mean we can't be friends. In fact, the way we're friends is through the true gospel, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But the fact is, we're going to be in heaven. We're the bride. We're going to meet our groom. He's coming. When the Father says, "Go get your bride," which is what happened in Jewish weddings. When the Father said, "Go get your bride," the groom could. When the Father said, "Go get your bride," how do you think the groom acted when the Father said, "Okay, everything's ready, your house is ready, go get your bride"? Do you think he's like, "Oh, do I have to? Oh, come on, man. You know what? You don't understand. You know, you set me up with this man. I hate this girl. I don't want to go." No, man, when the Father said, "Go get your bride," what do you think the dude did? Yabba dabba do, man. That's right. He was on his way, man. Do you understand Christ wants to come get us more than we want him to come get us? Because we still have a love for the world here. "Well, wait, I want to see my daughter get married. Well, wait." No, I'm not talking about you. I don't even know why. It didn't come up in relation to you. Sovi, you're like, if Christ were to come back right now, no, me and Austin have to have a wedding. You know, I've had throughout history, I've had lots of girls in that. "No, I want to get married. No, I want to have babies." Well, they ain't saying that during delivery, are they? No, but man, so many people, "No, I want to achieve this. No, I want," you know what? We're in love with the world. But the moment we set our eyes on heaven, what do you think, Michelle? The moment we set our eyes on heaven, are we going to be disappointed at all? No. We're going to be so blown away. And not only heaven, but more importantly, the moment we set our eyes on him, the one who loves us more than anyone could ever love us. And the more we experience that love freely, dude, we're going to be blown away and we're going to wish we had gotten there sooner. Which, by the way, you could be if you just quit going to the doctor. No, Jesus said to him, "Help me out with this again. I want you to know this, man." Keone, read this out. All of y'all, man. Jesus said to him, what? Who said that? Was that just some writer of the New Testament that said that? No, it was Christ who said that. Do you understand? It's Christ that said that. So anybody that's got some other deal with God, some other thought process, some other way of making this happen, they're wrong. So do you understand what that means for the world? And then he went on to even say in Matthew chapter 7, there's a bunch of people that are going to proclaim they're coming through me, but they don't really have a relationship with me. And when I start sending them off to hell, the hell line, wait, didn't I preach in your name? Didn't I cast out demons in your name? Didn't I do mighty works in your name? And he said, but begone from me, you workers of lawlessness. You and I never had an intimate relationship. Now, you may have had an intimate relationship with some God you created, but you didn't have an intimate relationship with God Almighty who's revealed in the Word of God. That's why you got to be in the Word of God. You got to be knowing who He is. The Word of God is where He speaks to you, and prayer is where you speak to Him. Because if you're like, "Oh, well, my God would never send people to hell and do that," you're right. My God would never send people to hell. My God would never do that. Well, you're right. You know why you're right? Because your God doesn't exist. He can't send people to hell because he doesn't exist. And again, anyone who wants him can have him. You understand that? If you have a desire for him, he gave you that desire. He said it's like the wind in Nicodemus. You know when it's, you don't know when it's coming, you don't know when it's leaving, but you know when it is there. And if he's giving you that desire, if you want him, you can have him. You don't want him, you don't get him. And that's who rejects him. So in Revelation, when we get to chapter 17, what you are going to see is that there is a one world religion, and she's characterized as a prostitute. Because what are we characterized as in the body of Christ, Fernanda? He's the groom, we're the bride. And you know, in that Jewish wedding with Mary and all of that, what was the bride supposed to do for a year while he's out fixing the house and everything? Stay pure. That's what we're supposed to be doing, is when we think about him coming back, we think about being like him, we think about spending eternity with him. We allow the Word of God and him to purify us, to make us more like him. Not more like the world, and I'm not saying we don't have setbacks, but that's the purpose. We become more like Him because we're going to eventually be changed to be just like Him, and we're going to spend eternity just like Him. So if you're like, well, I don't think I want to be like Christ, you better check your salvation. That's what the bride is supposed to be doing. But the one who is not the bride is not following Christ. Maybe goes to church and like has a facade of looking like a Christian and knowing what to say and going through duty. You know, well, I read the Bible. Well, I go this Bible, so I do this, whatever. But you know there's not really an intimate relationship. You know deep down, and of course nobody in this church, but you're, instead of having an intimate relationship, you're out whoring on Him. That's how it's presented in chapter 17. You go after the prostitute. And the prostitute claims to be a religion and has enough stuff in her religion to make it look religious, to make it make sense to those who want to be religious, because God created us to worship. Did you know that? He created us to worship. And if you're not worshiping the true God, who are you worshiping, Matt? The false God, which there's thousands of those, just in the Hindu religion, but everywhere. There's false gods all over, all around us that aren't biblical. We're created to worship. And that's what He shows us in Revelation 17, which we'll probably get to next week. And in that, you see that the Antichrist takes something that's already existed, it exists in our day now, but not to the magnitude, and it is going to be a one-world religion that is going to be totally not of God. And you'll see it. It's going to be what is full of abominations. And you know what abominations are? They're things that act like they're worshiping God, things that are supposed to bring you closer to God, things that represent God, but they are not of God. And God makes it sick because He doesn't want to be represented that way. He doesn't want to be represented that way. So if you could even imagine you being represented, how many of y'all would like to be represented as something opposite of you? You know, represented as opposite of you. And that's what happens in this religion, and it's going to become a one-world religion. Now, get this. We said there's not only going to be a one-world religion, it's going to be a one-world government, and there's going to be a one-world economy. Anybody see any of that on the horizon? It doesn't mean we're in it. It means that things are getting set up, y'all. And He said, when y'all see clouds, know that it's going to rain. He said, look at the sign. Again, doesn't mean it's happening now. It's getting set up. And as we see it set up, we're paying more attention to Christ and living for Him. But this one world government is going to use this one world religion for a little while. And it wouldn't be like it's the first government to use religion to prosper, is it? In fact, governments forever have known that if they can get a hold of a bunch of religious people and try to convince the religious people that what they believe is the same thing the religious people believe, then man, they've got a mighty force. Because you're talking about eternity and stuff. But it's false. So the government, the one world government, the Antichrist, is going to use a one world religion temporarily. And then you're going to see at the end of chapter 17, they get rid of her. They used her, got everything they wanted out of her. Now they don't need the religion anymore. And she's destroyed and she's gone. Now the Antichrist uses demonic forces to just take over everything. And we will see that when we get there. But again, look at this verse again. Keone, you want to get to heaven, who do you got to go through? God. Who? Now read that, man. Who? Jesus. Now, why do we have to go through Jesus? What did Jesus do? Well, he's the Messiah that they've been looking for ever since Adam and Eve. You remember when God told Eve, yeah, your offspring, your seed. Again, we can talk about the virgin birth with that, your seed. Because women don't have a seed, do they? And so the seed was going to be God that was going to impregnate her offspring, her seed. And there was going to be a Messiah, and He was going to crush the serpent's head. Meanwhile, the serpent would bruise his heel. After Adam and Eve sinned, they went and they made some bathing suits out of fig leaves, right? Prickly fig leaves. And God said, oh, that's awesome. No. God killed an innocent animal while the blood and the skin was still warm. He put it on them to show of what he thought about sin, that it was going to take a sacrifice one day. Abraham was going to sacrifice his son Isaac because God said to, and he knew Isaac had to be the promise, the son of promise, and the line was going to go through him to bring a Messiah. And as he's getting ready to kill him, the angel said, stop. And God, and he looked over in the thicket, and what did he see? A ram that was caught with his head in there. And God provided a sacrifice. Every single thing you read, especially in the Old Testament, everywhere you cut the Bible, it bleeds. It bleeds that there was going to be a Messiah, that God demands perfection. God told Adam and Eve, just don't eat off the tree, one thing. They messed that up. And Romans says, wherefore, by as one man, sin entered into the world, death by sin. So everybody is a sinner. We come into this world, and when we're born into this world, we do what? What do we do, Anna? We sin. You got a cute little girl. What's your little cute little girl's name? Chloe. I see that smile on your face. Did she ever sin? Yeah. How long she? Did you and Justin have to sit her down and give her sin lessons? You probably have, but I mean, she watched you because y'all ain't perfect, right? And like, oh, hey, if I just scream and yell, maybe that'll get my way or whatever. I'm just saying, did you have to teach her how to sin? No, it's born into her. And so the wages of sin, according to Romans 6:23, what we earn by being a sinner, by even our sin nature, our desire to blow off what God wants us to do and do what we want to do, what we've earned is eternal death, separation from God forever. But the second part of that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gave us a gift. And the gift is eternal. What you've earned is you've earned eternal death. But he gave you a gift in Christ. The gift is God demanded perfection and you blew it. Has she already blown it? How old is she? Come on, man. She's almost 4, so she's definitely blown it, right? You know, you're done, bro. We've all blown it. But God Almighty came in the form of Christ, the second person of the Trinity. It was planned from the beginning of time. And he would come and make himself a human because he was going to redeem humans. And that if he would have wanted to redeem barracudas, what would he had to become? A barracuda, right? But he redeemed humans. So he came and lived a perfect human life. He never sinned. He had died the death of a sinner. And he died. And 3 days later, what did he do? He rose. And so he shows that he has the power to give us resurrection life. But what he did was he took his perfect life. And if God has given you the desire to receive it, he wants to give you his perfect life, and you give him your messed up life. Keone, you take his perfect life, and you give him your messed up life. You've done that? Yeah, I believe you have. I've seen it. I've seen fruit of that in your life. But do you still mess up? Oh, my goodness. That's why God put Alana in your life, you know, to help you figure out how to obey when people are getting under your skin. And again, the way you do that is not like, oh, okay, I'm going to make it up. No, you pray. You ask God for the power. God, how can you be glorified in this very situation? And you do what God wants you to do. And he gets glory. And Alana goes back to the corner thinking about ways she can mess your life up again, right? Yeah. That's just what brothers and sisters do, you know. So Jesus said to him, he said, I am the way. You want to come to Christ, come to God, you've got to come through my perfection. Is there anyone else in the universe that has ever had perfection? No. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm telling you that I'm perfect. I'm telling you that this is how you come to me. And he says emphatically, no one comes to the Father except through me. Are you willing to accept that? Are you willing to, as believers, I've got Christ, so I'm going to heaven, but are you willing to accept the fact that anyone who doesn't come through Christ is going to hell. Are you willing to accept that fact? Most Christians ignore it. They're not willing to because they have a hard time with it. Why would God create all these people and send them to hell? Well, you know what? I'm gonna give you a real good answer right now. One is for His glory. You're like, well, how? I don't know specifically because my mind is finite and His is infinite. You know what? There's a lot of things we're not going to know for sure. I mean, we're not going to know explanations for. We're not going to understand until we become infinite like God. Right now, we're finite. He tells us in Isaiah, He said, your thoughts aren't like my thoughts. You know, your thoughts aren't like my thoughts. Mine are way higher than yours. You take all the geniuses in the world, take all of the holiest people you know, take all of them, and they're all right here, all of us, everybody, and God is here. You cannot understand everything about God. That's why we live by faith, and we live by what the Word of God says in that faith. World says, prove it to me, and then I'll believe it, and God says, no, no, you believe in me, and then I'll prove it to you. How many of y'all have God prove to you that He is real? Yeah. But He doesn't answer all the questions, probably because you can't understand them in your finite mind. And I can't either. He said to him, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I am the life. No one is going to have eternal life except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you accept that? And if you're having a hard time with that, it's like you're going to have to believe by faith. Otherwise, you'll never do what He left you here to do. And what He left us to do, if the only way for people to come to Christ, come to God is through Christ, what did He leave us here to do? Lucinda, what did He leave us here to do? Yeah, did He leave us here to feed the poor? Did He leave us here to heal the sick? Did He leave us here to fix everything? What happened to everybody that Jesus fed back in the New Testament? They died. What happened to everybody He healed? They died. Now, I'm not saying we don't do these good things, but you know what's happened in Christianity? Like, how many Baptist hospitals are there in the world where gospel isn't even allowed to be shared anymore? How many different kind of ministries are there that became parachurch ministries, that became social ministries to go take care of and do good things that Christ said to do? There's so many because Christ said to do these good things when you're presented with these good things. But don't miss the point. What is our ultimate purpose on this planet, Cindy? To tell others what He did for us. To tell others what He did for us. To share the gospel with them. I don't want you to raise your hand right now. But when's the last time you actually shared the gospel with somebody? And I hope it was soon. But in reality, it's kind of, He's got us scared. The enemy's got us scared. And it's the last thing we want to do. I don't want to intrude. You know what? If these two twins right here were on fire, all of a sudden, whoo, they caught on fire, literal fire, not spiritual fire. How many of y'all would go run and grab one of them pots full of water or go? How many of y'all would have no problem just blasting them both with a fire extinguisher? First of all, it'd be kind of fun, right? No, I'm just joking. But literally, how many of y'all have a problem blasting them with a fire extinguisher? You wouldn't. Why? Why wouldn't you have a problem, Matt? Why wouldn't you have a problem blasting them with a fire extinguisher? It would save their physical life. We're now talking about people's spiritual life. We're talking about their address where they're going to live longer than they will ever live anywhere else. We're talking about sharing something with them that they may not like, they may not agree with, but if the Spirit of God is working in their lives, they'll accept it. How many of y'all punched the person out that shared the gospel with you? Any of y'all, you know, oh yes, I prayed to accept Jesus. Boom, don't ever talk to me about that again. No, that's not what happened. You're eternally grateful. There was a guy, man, I was at this old school kind of preacher's conference back in the day. First Baptist Jacksonville, man. Like the lead preachers, he was a good preacher. A guy named Homer Lindsay, he was one of the pastors, and Jerry Vines, and all these country guys, man. Paige Patterson, they're all preaching. And then they had like this evangelism conference, and it was a guy who was a deacon out of First Baptist Jacksonville. And he was like, he was famous for going out on his lunch break. He was like some executive in Jacksonville, but he would go out on his lunch break and he'd share the gospel. So we all went, like, okay, well, let's hear what he's got to say, how he's going to do all this. And here's what he said. I've shared this at disc golf before, but here's what he said. He'd go knock on the door, or he'd see somebody at the park, and here's the question he would ask them. Milo, here's the question he'd ask. Is the Spirit of God working in your life today? Yeah, so some people, listen, that's the question. Is the Spirit of God working in your life? He'd walk up to a stranger, hey, man, is the Spirit of God working in your life today? And he never had anybody punch him out, no whatever. He'd either have people say, no, I don't know what the heck you're talking about. And he'd hand him a little track and he'd walk off. Say, if the Spirit of God ever is working in your life, my number's on there, call me. I'd love to be the first to know. And walked off. Never got any fights with anybody or anything. But if somebody said, yeah, you know, I think God might be working in my life today. You know what? I've been thinking about God today. You know, my mom called me and said she's praying for me. You know, different things would happen. He'd say, well, listen. You know what? Can I share with you the gospel? And he would share the gospel. And this guy got to lead thousands of people to Christ. It wasn't him doing it. It was Christ doing it. We're not lawyers trying to convince somebody, win a case. We're witnesses. You just told me how old your daughter was. She's 4. You witnessed to me. I didn't know how old your daughter was. I could guess, but you witnessed. How hard was that to tell me your daughter was 4? Was that hard? Oh, no, he asked me a question, and, oh, gosh, let me go back. Let's go back. Yeah, he's 4. No, I mean, it wasn't a painful thing, was it? Because it's real to you. And that's what witnessing is. If God is real to you on a day-to-day basis, we share with others what he's done for us. The Great Commission at the end of Matthew, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He's in charge. So he says, because I'm in charge and have all authority, here's what I want you to do. Go make disciples. Do you understand that's your job? No matter where he has you employed, where he has you working, what he's got you doing, he wants you to make disciples. That's your job. Go make disciples. And in case you forgot what disciple making is, Abby, he says, it's teaching others to do what he's taught you, starting with salvation. That's not hard because I know you've been doing it and in some harder situations sometimes. But how hard is it to teach others what God has made real to you? Would you rather do that or would you rather have to present a case like a lawyer? But yeah, that's why he made us witnesses and not lawyers. Yeah, we just share, look, this is what God, you know, somebody's like, man, this happened to me, and oh, this is horrible, and this is, God, this has been the worst day of my life. Well, you know what? On the worst day of my life, when some things were happening, here's what I did. You know, I bowed my head, and I prayed, and I begged God to let me see things from his perspective. Well, I wish I could do that. Well, you can if you have a relationship with them. If you want a relationship with them, and you desire to have a relationship, here's how you start it, and you tell them. If you've given your life to Christ, if you have a relationship with him, and it started at some point, you have the ability to share that. You don't need a canned presentation. You just need to know that they need to hear what you heard in that. So you share the gospel. That's what these colors are about. And again, we go through it kind of, you know, flippantly sometimes, but on these colors, we have, you know, we have this, and I do have a few of these really cool stickers right here, but JJ is going to order more. I don't know if he knew that or not, but you can order some more, right? Yeah, and these would be great on your surfboard. These would be great on a notebook at school. These would be great on a number. You pray. And again, I'm not forcing you to do this or whatever, but it's a great conversation starter in this. I've had so many people when I wear this shirt, they're like, oh man, are you Jamaican? I'm like, yeah, you know, I remind. I mean, I've been to more places in Jamaica than most Jamaicans have ever been, all right, back in the 90s. But again, I'm like, oh yeah, but it actually means something different. I guarantee if I go into a Jamaican restaurant wearing this shirt, I will have a conversation about the gospel. Somebody's going to ask. And I get asked all the time, and I said, well, actually, this is the gospel. This shirt, these colors bring me great news, man. I said, first, this strip of gold right here reminds me that this is not my home, My home is in heaven. How many of y'all think you could get a conversation starter like that in this world today? Where somebody would be like, oh, this world stinks. Oh, this world's messed up. Man, what's going on with this world? It's so messed up. Well, you know what? It doesn't bother me because I have a home in heaven. I have a home in heaven where God is perfect. He's going to be there. And I'm going to be perfect. And everybody there is going to be changed into being perfect. How many of y'all think that you have at least one opportunity during the day where somebody's going to complain about this world or complain about something? And now you got the opportunity to say, well, man, my home. Now, it better not be you. And if it is you, you can look down at the goal and say, you know what? I really ain't got nothing to complain about. And then you convince yourself of that. But you go into the Word and you realize you have nothing to complain about. But my home is in heaven. You know? It's where I live. I'm going to be there. And I'm going to be there forever when He takes me. As soon as He's done, yabba dabba doo, pulls that cockatoo's tail, I'm sliding down my brontosaurus, I'm going to my home. You know? I got a home in heaven. But it wasn't always that way. I came into this world as a sinner, and that's what this black represents. The black background, it represents the sin and dirt in my life that I couldn't take care of. I couldn't get rid of. I couldn't cover it. I couldn't get rid of it and change the color. I couldn't do it. So the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, He gave me the desire to repent of my sin and give my life to Him. Which is what this red represents. The only thing that could take away the sins of the world. It's it. It's the only thing. So I surrendered to Him. And He permanently gave me this home in heaven. You ever done that? And if they say no, do you have a desire to do that? Because they have to have a desire. If they have no desire, the desire comes from God. And if there is no desire, that's why you're a witness. You're not responsible for the results. You're responsible for regurgitating it. I just had to make an R word there. No. You're not responsible for the results. You're responsible for sharing this. And if God's Spirit is working in their life, they're like, yeah, you know, I think I'd like to do that. And then, like, how do I do it? Well, you pray. You pray. You ask. You just surrender your life to Him. Say, God, I want to give you my, you give me a desire. I want to give you my old life, and I want that perfect life, and I want you to live inside me. I want you to live inside me forever and be my Savior. And you can do that for real if He gives you the desire to. If you don't have the desire, you can't just like make this up. You can't tack them on, like I said, in Hindu, where you're just adding another god. Whenever I talk to the Hindu people and I say, now get rid of all your other gods. Oh, no, I can't do that. I can't do that. No, no, you get rid of all your gods and you take Him on. You live for Him. Like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'm living for Him now. And then they might say, well, what's the green for? The green is I got a long way to become more like Christ. He's now put His Spirit in me and He's now giving me situations every single day where I have to choose between what I want to do and what He wants me to do. And as I choose to do what He wants me to do, I grow more in love with Him. And as I grow more in love with Him, I grow more in love with everyone around me. You grow more in love with Him, He says. Yaron, that was your verse the other day, right? I grow more in love with Him, He causes me to grow what? More in love with others. That's why I'm sharing this with you. But again, Keone, you got to believe. Read that to me again. Jesus said to him, what?
Way.
Is there any other way? Is there any other way? So you understand, if they don't have Christ, they don't have an eternal home in heaven. They die and go to hell. And so I'm the way. Go ahead. Oh, you tried to go real fast so I couldn't interrupt you, right? So I'm the truth. Right? So is there any other truth in Him? If this is Christ saying this, this is the truth. Is there any other truth other than His? No. So when the world comes, that's why I wanted you up here and I wanted Finn up here and I wanted you girls up here. Because you guys, if Christ doesn't come back, are going to be living in a more deceptive, messed up world than we are.
And you need to know Satan's going to come at you. And you're going to be like, well, there's going to be great arguments in school, great arguments by people who can lie way better than you. And they're going to teach you things that are so false, but you've got to know the Word of God, y'all, so that you can compare. The Word of God is a sieve. You pour it through the sieve, and only the truth makes it through. All the garbage that you don't want to drink, you don't want to eat, you throw it away. But you drink what goes through that sieve, and that sieve is the Word of God. You guys got to know it. This is the only truth there is. And so if you want to have, what's the next part, Keone? And the life. So if you want life, where does that life come from? Jesus. Does it come from a better education? Does it come from more money? Does it come from better jobs? No, because God's got people in every single economic status because He needs people sharing the gospel in each one of those statuses. So you know what? Accept where you're at. Move if you want, but don't make that your goal. Make sure you're where God has you because He needs you there. And so who can come to the Father, Keone, according to that last part? So do you believe that? If you believe it, then start looking around because there's so many people that don't have Christ and we're silent. They're on fire and we're afraid to give them a fire extinguisher. And we don't beat people over the head. We share it with them in love. So in this, what does the gold represent? Yeah. That's my home. People start complaining about this world. You know what? I got a home in heaven, and it's pretty cool. The Bible tells me, man, I got a home in heaven. And because I have a home in heaven, I know God's taking care of me here. But this black represents why it wasn't always so. What does the black represent? Yeah, and every one of us had it. Every one of us has got sin because we're sinners. And we can't cover it up. We can't take it away. But who's the only one that can? Christ. The red represents what? And when we talk about His blood, what that blood means is His death. He died to be a substitute. We deserve to die because of our sins. As a substitute, He died in our place. That's what, when it says, talks about the precious blood and shed His blood, that blood represents His death that He took for us. But unlike us, He had the power to do what on the third day? Rise again so we could live for Him. And that's what the green represents. Green represents what? Grow. To grow more in love with Him. Because as we grow more in love with Him, we grow more in love with who? Yeah. In fact, He even said in John, He said that, I think it's 1 John, in one of the Johns, he said that if you say that you love me, but you don't love people, you're a liar. So if you look at how you love people, you can see your love for Him. And if you're not loving people very much, that means you need to spend some more intimate time with Him so you can love people. And the people that cut us, the people that hurt us, the people that do things that are just stupid, not like we didn't ever do that, but the people who just do things, when you love them, there's forgiveness, and you beg God for them to be healed. You share the gospel. If they're saved, you pray for their souls. But hate ain't going to fix nothing. You love them like God loves the church and all of that. So here we go. Keone, come up here. Finn, come on up here, man. Y'all think you got this? All right, Keone, you got a shirt on, man. Here, hold that right there. So Keone, can you share that gospel with Finn based on that? Where's your home, man? Yeah, Finn's complaint. Can you complain about Finn? Does that Finn ever complain about the world? Milo, does Finn complain about the world? You know, no? Okay, well, just act for us and complain about the world, man. You know, oh, man, my brother, and yeah, man, this. Complain, just complain. Are you any good at complaining? Just do it, man. Practice, all right? Just practice. Okay, so he's so he's just complaining about the world. And you know what he's complaining about? Man, my home, I got stickers from my yard. I got, you know, man, the dog ate my wiffle ball, whatever. What's that? Oh, school. Yeah, there you go. Complain about school a little bit. Okay, so you come back and kind of say, hey, I hate it too, but I'm not going to be doing it forever.
One day we'll have a home in heaven.
And we won't have to write paragraphs in heaven, right? How many of y'all got a big amen right there? All right? You know, you're looking for an opportunity to share the gospel with them. They're unhappy for being here. You should be grateful for everything that you even have the ability to write paragraphs, Keone. You know, that God has given you wonderful parents that want to teach you and write. So again, it's like, you know, man, I understand, but man, one day, I have a home in heaven, and one day, man, it's all going to be perfect. Go ahead. Help me out with that. Just go ahead and tell them, one day it's all going to be perfect, man.
One day it's all going to be perfect.
Yeah, yeah. But my home wasn't always heaven. Okay, go ahead.
My home wasn't always heaven.
And this black represents why my home wasn't always heaven.
And this black represents my home wasn't always heaven.
So what does it represent, Keone?
That my home wasn't always heaven.
But what's the S word that begins with S and ends with N and has I in the middle of it? Yeah, it represents the sin in my life. And I could you take it away? Could you like forgive it? Could you get rid of it? The sin on your own?
No.
No. So what color represents how you got rid of your sin? Look down your shirt. Or look there. One of those colors representing how you got rid of your sin? What's that?
The green.
Talk to him. I'm saved already. No, it's the red.
Oh, okay.
I should have switched this, shouldn't I have? But it's all good. The red. And what does the red represent?
That Jesus died for my sins.
Yeah. His perfection. He died perfect so he could give me his perfect life. And I could give him my messed up life. You say that kind of in your own words? He gave me his perfect life so
he
I could...
gave me his perfect life so I could have...
And I gave him my...
And I gave him my sin.
Yeah. And he took it, right?
Yeah.
And because of that, now my home is where?
Heaven.
Amen. And while I'm here, I'm going to grow in love with him. By seeing everything. Go ahead. I want you to repeat
by
this.
Seeing everything.
Including my sister messing with me.
Including my sister messing with me.
From God's perspective.
From God's perspective.
Knowing that he wants me to become more like him.
Knowing that he wants me to become more like him.
And he gets the glory.
And he gets the glory.
All right. That's it. So, all right. Y'all give it up. So one day, you know, you're going to get the opportunity to share that with your friends at the skate park, somewhere, at the beach, you know, somewhere. You think you can share it? No? Okay. You think your dad can share it? So you think your dad and you should work on it and let him help you? Hey, do you think your dad can share that? Do you think your dad could help you learn how to share it?
Oh,
he can write a song about it. There you go. We want to hear it next week, all right? So, anyways... But the point is that that's in its simplest form. So y'all give it up for them, and y'all go sit back down. Right. Bottom line, salvation, it's needed because of your sin. It's been provided through Christ, and you must accept it. It's a gift. And so that's kind of where it all stands. Hey, Keone, talking about that accepting as a gift. Man, do you want my backpack and everything that is in my backpack?
Sure,
because it's got wallets, it's got Mia's credit cards, it's got, dude, it's got a lot of stuff. But in order for you to have it be your own, what would you have to do?
Take it.
Yeah, take it. But if you kept running around and I kept chasing you your whole life saying, Keone, take the backpack, would it ever be yours?
Yeah.
No, you have to stop. And accept the desires that God has given you to accept the gift that he wants to give you. So, we're done with that illustration. So my point is maybe there's somebody here that God has been chasing for a long time. You know about him. He's been chasing you, and he wants to give you salvation. Like the backpack, you just simply have to receive it. And you don't know when that desire is coming. You don't know when it's leaving, but you know when it's there. So you can't just choose when you're going to receive it. While it's there, you receive it. I encourage you to do it. It's the greatest thing that any of us have ever done in our life. You won't be sorry. Let's pray. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for just reiterating the fact again that you are the way, the truth, and the life. That's an encouragement to me because that's who I'm following. Man, I want to know where I'm supposed to be going, what I'm supposed to be doing. I need to follow you because you're the way. Father, when this world is kind of messing around with things and, you know, things seem to be religious and seem to be biblical, but when we compare them against your word, they're not. We can trust to know that your word is the truth. And Father, when we just feel like there's no life in us, Father, I pray that we would come to you, and through Christ, you would revive us. You would give us new life, knowing how much you love us. As we even studied in the Psalms this last week, that when our eyes are fixed on your love, we have no problem following. So help us get our eyes off things that are dragging us down, things that are holding us back, and put our eyes on you. So Father, I'm grateful to know that no one can come to you except through Christ. And I'm grateful to know that because that's how I came. And you led the way. You gave me the desire and ability. So I pray, Father, that if there's somebody here today that has never surrendered to you through Christ, they've never surrendered their life, and you've been chasing them, you've been pursuing them, and they just haven't stopped to receive it. Father, I pray that today would be the day that they become a kingdom child. They surrender everything they know about themselves, everything they know about you. And they start to experience what it's like to live intimately with the one that is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, help us to live that way too. And I pray for these things in Jesus' name. All God's people threw up a shotgun and said,
you.